But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm there about verse 20 down through verse 26, and and I don't use this term loosely, there's a lot of nuggets in the scripture. And that's kind of after you're well seasoned in the Lord and you've heard a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching, you think you've heard it all. And God will just show you some little nugget, a little piece of gold, a little piece of treasure, ruby, and it's just a blessing. And so I've got to where in my ears, when I hear people preach, I look for the nuggets. Because, you know, somebody takes a text, I can pretty well tell you probably where they're going to go with this. Pretty much so. But then I'm listening diligently for that little piece of gold or that little piece of silver that God has for me as one that diggeth for it like a treasure. Now, when you get into trouble, when you hear a guy preach, 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 and he never gives you any nuggets, either you ain't tuned in or he ain't studying, huh? Oh, hush up. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, watch me. And you've heard preachers say, well, that went over like a lead balloon. That happens sometimes. Look at verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. At first look, we want to look carefully where it's coming from, context, and this was the context for Christian service. Church, Paul's writing to Timothy, a young preacher, and he's giving him lessons in how to handle himself and teach in the church. So we got that. And the heading of that chapter was the path of a good soldier in the time of apostasy. And obviously there's every opposition, every trouble, every struggle that comes along. But he's telling Timothy something about the people that will be in the congregation or the church he pastors or as he ministers. And this is ministry. This is what pastors and teachers and people have to know or should know about the house of God. And that's what he says. But in a great house. So the reference here, in a great house, the illustration the Lord uses, the Holy Spirit uses and preserved here for us, and he uses the word house, is to teach about the church. He's talking about the church. The church being a house made up of people, believing people. And let me give you scripture on that to back up what I'm trying to say. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest, and he's talking about his inability to come to them personally, because this is one of the prison epistles, and he had been in prison. A little background. He said, but if I tarry long, get tied up, can't get there, can't make it. And he said, I'm saying all this, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. You say, well, that can be nothing else but the assembly of God's people, and that's exactly what that is, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So the contextual meat of this thing is a little more lesson on what to expect in the house of God. And he says in verse 20, and we just covered the stuff on the foundation is sure, the very Christ, that we are saved by the very Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we focus on in all of our services and everything we do, was covered in verse 19, verse 20, but in a great house. He said, I want you to know something about the house. And by the way, the church is a great house to be a part of. It's a great place to be. And God doesn't say a lot about great things, but he says about the house of God, it's great. And we won't want to forget that. I don't take that thing lightly. So if it's a great place, I want to be there. So if you see somebody that's not here, give them a call. Say, hey, you're missing church on Sunday morning. And I understand it only if they're sick. I got all that, like Pastor said, if they're got an age discrepancy and, you know, we're getting older, we think about that. We don't want anything. But things are getting better. But it's a great place to be. If I had to be any place, I'd rather be here than Walmart. Say amen right there. People say, I don't know. I used to go to Kmart years ago. I couldn't live without them blue light specials. Yeah, how's that working out for you? They closed all the Kmarts. Yeah, okay. JCPenney's next. Say, what's going on? I don't know. Once we defund all the police departments, we don't have no police, so you just walk in and get what you want. What? Where'd that come from? Go figure. I've been watching the news again, Steve. So the house of God is a great place. It's a great house. But he said, I want you to know something about it. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. What's a vessel? Is that a vessel? That's a vase or a vase, they call it, depending on where you come from. But that's not the kind of vessel he's talking about there. Say, well, what's he talking about? He's talking about you. You're a vessel. Your body is the vessel, if you're saved, of the Holy Ghost of God. That vessel. So he wants you to know something about the people that make up the great place called the house of God, the church. It's full of vessels. Vessels supposedly fit for the master's use. But he said, you need to know something about church here. He said, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. In other words, if you had a gold vessel, you'd have a pretty good thing. If you had a silver vessel, pretty good thing. So gold is representative of something precious, something rare, something valuable. Same with silver. And so there are people in the church, this great house, that, man, they're worth every good thing you could say about them. Be careful now, because there are some other vessels. But he wants you to know this. So let me assure you today, in our great church, we have some good vessels. And they're hard workers. They don't complain. You say, what are, man, they're like gold, man. You got them on your team. You got them in your church. You they'll do anything in the world for God. They witness. They're faithful. I mean, you say, what is it? That's a vessel of gold and silver. That's what that is. And you got folks like that. But watch it. He says, I want you to know something about this great house. They're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Okay, then you got some other folks. Say, Brother Phil, you're getting awful personal. No, I'm not. The Lord is. You got some other folks. They're just wood. Watch out now. And of earth. So an earthen pot don't hold a candle to a golden vessel, an earthen vessel. You got an old clay pot you formed up out of clay, and maybe you didn't get it kiln just right, and man, if you drop it, it's going to break. But you got that gold one. You might get a dent in it, but it'll still polish up, and it's still beautiful. Did you ever notice an old earthen clay pot? It's real hard to polish that thing. Man, you just get, and wood, man, you can work with that wood, and it isn't nothing like working with gold or silver. You see what I'm saying? You say, what are you saying? I'm saying there's vessels in the great church today, some to honor and some to dishonor. Amen. You say, why would I have to know that? Why would you tell me? Can't we just all love each other and hug and kiss and go on? No, because look, the last thing that you want to do if you're a pastor, and he's preaching to a pastor here, is Timothy, he's teaching this man, he says, look, you're going to need deacons, you're going to need officers, you're going to need leadership, you're going to need help in this house of God, because it's a great house, and I don't want to mess around here, so don't be choosing these wood and earthen vessels to get my work done. He said, I want the gold ones and the silver ones. You say, what? That's all in that? That's all in that. So you got to be careful as a pastor or leader when you're looking for somebody to fill a role or an office in the church. Only two offices in the church, the pastor and the deacon. Be careful. And you look around. What if your pastor didn't show up every other Sunday? He'd call it, man, I can't make it today. I'm sick. You say, what? You ain't sick? I saw you going down the road in your bass boat. You was headed for the lake and got the fish to prove it. You say, oh, you're getting too personal now. Well, there's this big Harley ride, and I got a Harley, and I got a ride today. How about this one? The Bengals are playing, and I'm going to a Bengals game. Can you fill my pulpit? What would you do with a pastor like that? You'd be calling Union Hall. Can you send me somebody else up here? He just ain't cutting the mustard. Ain't we having the time? Say, Brother Phil, nobody, no wonder nobody comes to your Sunday school class. They used to come just to see what I'd say. I don't know. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying, be careful. He's teaching young Timothy here, be careful. I want you to realize everybody's not the same. Everybody's not on the same spiritual level. Everybody's not, just not the same. You've got some vessels to gold and silver, some to wood and earth. You got to be careful who you're using where, or you'll be in trouble. So that's a pretty valuable lesson. The word house also can refer to as your own home, so I want to extend the thought on this, a great house. Here we think the teaching is to the church, but believe me, the value system for Christianity and spirituality starts in the other house or your home. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, I'm backing up to give you a verse on your house, your home. One that ruleth well his own house. And again, he's talking about somebody in leadership, somebody in the church. But their reference here to his own house doesn't have anything to do with the church house. Has to do with where he makes his home, his house. Having his children in subjection with all gravity, and he expands the thought. So there's some requirements that, you know, some people just don't have good homes. Huh? Man, you get into their home, it's trashy, man. I mean, they don't put God. You say, how do you know that? Well, I know that because remember when David, a long time ago, he wanted to bring the Ark of God back to the house of Israel because the Philistines had stole it under the rule of Saul, who was a picture of a bad leader, bad leadership, and he lost the Ark of God, lost the power of God, lost the presence of God. So David said, I'm going to go back in there, and I'm going to get that thing right. I'm going to get it back. And he goes down there, and he gets that thing, and the guy gets killed touching the ox cart because they brought it home, and they brought it in a way that they shouldn't have brought it. They didn't bring it the way the house of the Kohathites are supposed to carry that thing. And he didn't go get those people. He didn't pray about that thing first. And he knew how to do it. He just went and got an old ox cart, put that thing on there. And when the oxen stumbled and that thing shook, Uzzah took a hold of the back of that thing and God killed him because nobody's supposed to touch that thing except the priest. Say, what happened? He took the ark down to somebody's house. So your house is important. You say, what happened? He took it down to Obed-Edom's house. Now, Obed-Edom was a Jew in the nation of Israel who wasn't necessarily walking right with God. But I'm telling you, when the Ark of God came to his house and David said, hey, we're afraid of this thing. We can't take it any further. We're bringing it into your house. What do you think Obed-Edom said? Throw out the TV. Get rid of the rock music. Man, break all those records. He didn't do that. I got news here. When God moved into the house, things changed in Obed-Edom's house. Say, how do you know? It stayed 3 months. What if God should show up to your house? Would it change how you live, what you watch on TV, what you say? Oh, Brother Phil, you're preaching now. I know. I slip right into that mode, get wound up here. But there's the great house of God, then there's your house. I guess what I'm trying to say is if God should show up at your, is God in your house? Why'd I get rid of all them Playboy magazines, them hustlers? What? Some woman jumps up, why'd I get rid of my drinking wine and my socializing beer? I just love that Bud Light. Huh? Oh, no, that happens out of Christianity. And those people, they'll show up to church, man, would put a smile on their face and shake your hand and say, man, I love you, preacher. I love Jesus. They'll go like that, and they'll tell you how much they love Jesus, and the whole while they're living like a devil in their house. I got news for you. That's a vessel of wood and of earth. And, brother, watch out. And Paul's teaching a young pastor how to handle himself in the house of God. So if I wanted somebody to teach Sunday school, if I wanted somebody to be a deacon, if I wanted somebody to be a preacher or whatever, I want to know how he handled himself in his house. Oh, you're getting personal now. No, I'm not. You have to throw the beer away. Huh? Get rid of that foul read material. Get off them X-rated channels on that cable TV you got. Huh? That's, Well, you can't get away with that kind of preaching. Well, Paul got away with it. So the word house can also refer to one's body. Not to the great house just of God, not to the house where you live, but there's also a reference to that thing, and you need to pick up these kinds of principles in the Word of God. There's a threefold reference to the word house in the New Testament, one to the church house, how you ought to behave yourself, the other to your house where you live, and it ought to be a sanctuary, it ought to be a place where there's some civility, some spirituality, some prayer, you know, some devotion, some time to regather your thoughts. Amen. I'll be a good place. I'll be like Obed-Edom's house. Man, they were tiptoeing around that Ark of the Covenant. Why did he bring it down here? Man, that's like having God right in my house. God's supposed to be in your house. He's supposed to be welcome. You see what I'm saying? But there's that other house. That's your vessel. That's you. That's your body. Let me give you the reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that in our earthly house, now he defines this, of this tabernacle, this thing where our earthly house is tabernacle, we're dissolved, talking about the dying of the flesh. We have a building of God in us, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. See, what's he talking about? He's talking about your body is the temple, the vessel whereby the Holy Ghost lives on the inside. Say, well, everybody that's saved's got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but some vessels dishonor the Lord and some honor the Lord. And if you live like a Pharisee, you claim to be this, 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 and this, but in reality and truth and where God actually sees you, you're this, 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 and this, then you're a vessel unto dishonor. Oh, Brother Phil, don't say all that. Yeah, it does. And we as leaders and preachers and pastors and teachers miss that. We'll have a church full of staff. They're trying to fool somebody, but they ain't fooling God. And they don't really fool the man of God. He'll know, God help him. But watch. So the word house has also a reference. Here in verse 20, the word house seems to be the house of God. But I wanted you to see the threefold teaching of the word house in the New Testament under the pen of the Apostle Paul, or the church house. Here is our context. So we learned that in the church, there are those that honor God and those that dishonor God. Now they're there. They can jump about that high. They can holler amen with the best of them. But they're really not for God. They'll say they are. Say, oh, Brother Phil, you're just saying. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You say, well, you shouldn't judge no man. Like, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just giving you what Paul says. And I just happen to believe the Word of God. Most folks don't believe. Oh, he's not talking about us. He ain't talking about us here. But yet, the other hand will say, well, the end times, it's here. Yeah, it's here. There's more deception today in the church than there ever has been. Amen, Brother Phil. That's good teaching. So I would be... It would be by those deeds that we manifest in our flesh, our body, this house, which may be religious, but the whole while dishonoring God. I read a book this week called The Pursuit of God. Get that thing, man. Get that thing. The Pursuit of God. I got started on that thing and I couldn't lay it down. Say, who's it by? A.W. Tozer. Man, a lot of so-called fundamental Bible believers don't like A.W. Tozer. You say, why? He writes just like the Apostle John does in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Say, well, he wasn't even a Baptist. He was a Christian Alliance. Yeah, back when they stood for something. Amen. So get that thing. And this quote I've got here, it would be by those deeds that we manifest in our flesh, which may be religious, but the whole while dishonoring God. He was talking about Pharisaical Christians in the church. Man, I don't want to be like that. You know, once in a while, I have to play the piano. Most of the time, I play the piano. And so I don't make a trip down the aisle. But man, I'll tell you what, I have been slain. preacher, you preached a message a few weeks ago. It's on a Wednesday night. You know, nobody here, nothing going on, just a handful of folks. And man, that thing just got all over me. I couldn't hardly play. And it was about praying. It's about praying. I might have told you. And say, what is that? And you know what? For humility's sake, I said, God, I just want to humble myself before you, and I want to reevaluate what I'm doing and how I'm praying and stuff, and I got to pray. It's good once in a while, just if you're, I don't care who you are, if you're a leader in the church, if you're not a leader, I don't care. Once in a while, walk aside, fall on your face before God and say, God, humble me. Pastor preached a message last Sunday on warming your hands by the enemy's fire. There were 4 or 5 people come to the altar, preacher. I don't know if I was up here watching, and I made a comment to him. I said, you know, a lot of people get over there warming their hands by the enemy's fire. That was Peter out of fellowship with God. And don't you know, when he was trying to get warm, he was so cold on the inside.
That's good, preacher.
You can't get warm if you belong to God by the enemy's fire.
Yeah.
You can't get warm. But you can get warmed up when Jesus looks over and his eyes meet yours. Say, what is all that? Well, that's kind of along the lines of what Paul's teaching here. See, we're all on the same page. Jeremiah's preaching. Brother Samuel had a great message on the fear of the Lord. What did you say, brother? Turn off your TV and turn on God. He had a good title. He had a good message. And it kind of make you sit up and say, yeah, what are we afraid of, these protesters and all the politicians and all this other stuff? Man, fear God.
Amen.
Just good stuff. So we're all on the same page, and we try to be on the same page. And say, why? Because we're ministering to a good house of people, that it may be beneficial to them to hear a little something. And I would hope every year goes by. You know, we always have something around the first year that you could look and say, you know what? I'm doing better for God this year than I was last year. Now, your world may have fallen apart, but somehow through that, you've gotten better and closer to God. Say, what is that? That's spiritual growth. See, spiritual growth doesn't always equal physical growth or financial stability. It doesn't. So here in Romans chapter 2, verse 21 and 24, Paul says this to the Romans. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? So we as leadership have to be careful. Watch it. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Man, you get up here and you just bust that thing the whole time. You got your hand in the till somewhere. Watch it. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Man, you're preaching it. Man, you're jumping up and down and the whole time lusting after some woman that's dressed about half right, huh? Come on now. Say, well, what's that? Well, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after he's committed adultery already with her in his heart, you say, man, that's hard preaching, preacher. I'm telling you how it is out here in Christendom, in the church. Watch out. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Man, you can't have no idols. You can't have this. You can't have the whole time you're bound down to your Ford truck, Chevrolet truck, Dodge truck. I don't care what you got. Your bass boat, your shotgun, your coon. No, I don't know what you idolize. See what I'm saying? Be careful with that thing. And then he says, thou that makest thy boast of the law. These people were confused here. Through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Then they say, keep the law, you know, thou shalt have other gods before thee, you know, and they start quoting the Ten Commandments over there in Exodus chapter 20, and the whole time they leave out of the church house, and they're doing the very things. You say, what is that? Well, he said, you're going to have these issues in any church you go to. And if you preach on this stuff and teach on this stuff and always bring this stuff back to remembrance, these are church doctrines. You say, what's that do? Well, it allows the Holy Spirit to take those words, find them lodging places in the hearts of the people that are there, and may keep you from sin. Or if you're in sin, may keep you from staying too long. And if you're involved in that thing, and he pastor just said this Wednesday night, may keep you from paying too much. Because there's some writer, and I can't remember who. It wasn't Dr. Don Green. He didn't originate it. They give that to him, but he didn't do it because I've read it in earlier writings. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Yeah, good thought. Matter of fact, Dr. Don Green has a pamphlet he wrote on that, but he's not the originator of that phrase, and he may give, I have that pamphlet, he may give reference to that. Anyway, here, what I wanted to say is watch in Romans 2, 21 through 24, Paul's a strong teacher, especially these people that are struggling with the flesh and the spirit, and that's where all that stuff unfolds in chapter 7 and then chapter 8, even chapter 6, chapter 7 and chapter 8. But here in chapter 2, verse 21 and 24, watch 24, what he says in the context to save people. He says, for the name of God is blaspheming among the Gentiles through you, as is written. You say, why? Because they were saying they were there. This and they were doing this. They were saying they were a good Christian. What they were saying, they were a vessel of gold and a vessel of silver, when in all essence they were a vessel of wood and a vessel of earth. And brother, they were bringing dishonor on God, dishonor on the great house of God, dishonor on all the things they do. And you say, what is that? That's a problem. That will mess your church up because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, somebody got saved. Yeah, think of it this way. I'm glad somebody got saved. But if people were right with God and would judge themselves and get a hold of that thing, there might have been three or four people saved that day. You say, why? Because I let me submit this. I believe in a lot of good, the good houses of God. The Holy Ghost of God is grieved and quenched by the pharisaical false religious spirituality that people put on the front. Well, they come to church on Sunday morning just to, it's a Kent and Barbie show. I wonder what she's wearing today. Well, look at that. Well, who's he thinking? He got a new suit today. Where'd you get that tie? I mean, it's a, what? What if I wore bib overhauls and a t-shirt? Would that matter? Say, what are you talking about? Troubles in the great house of God, the church. Verse 21 sums up the whole matter in our text here. If a man therefore purge himself from these, amen, 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 he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. But you know what the problem is? People aren't going to judge themselves. They're going to judge everybody but themselves. And they're going to wipe their mouth off and look in the mirror and say, man, I'm better than I thought I was. They can see your problem, your problem, your problem, your problem, but they can't see their problem. And if they should get a glimpse of their problem, they'll shovel it on back to somebody else and say, oh, that wasn't meant for me, that was for somebody else. I try not to ever do that. When preacher gets up and preaches, when Samuel gets up and preaches, when Jeremiah gets up and preaches, or any of these other people that get up here and say anything for the glory of God, from the Word of God, I don't pay much attention if they're just blowing off at the mouth. They got something from the Word of God, I need it. You say, why? I'm a miserable wreck. Hey. Amen. You are too. Watch out. So I want to be a vessel unto honor. So if a man therefore purge himself, say, what are you doing? I'm trying to purge myself. Purge myself from these. You see, the church house is not just a great house. It's an operating room. And brother, the Holy Ghost of God comes down and starts operating in here. And brother, if we got him grieved, he can't operate right. And this thing ain't pure and holy and clean. He can't get the job done. And you may go away needing a, God forbid, a heart transplant. Huh? So here, if a man therefore purge himself, we have a great responsibility as members of the house of God to clean our own selves up and get right before God. He shall be a vessel unto honor. Wouldn't everybody want to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified unto the master's use, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work? So a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. They're always there. If he does not purge himself, he is of little use to God in our great church. Oh, he still may carry some weight. Still may throw $10 in the plate every once in a while. Maybe $1,000. But that's no sign of spirituality. Verse 22 through 26 shows us the things we need to work on to be a vessel of honor for the Lord in the church and outside the church. And so the truths that are set forth here from verse 22 in our text all the way down through verse 26 are phenomenal. Verse 26 shows what happens to saved folks that never learned this lesson. Now, we'll go back and recap this, but there's a lot of people that say, I'm spiritual, I'm good, preacher, man, I'm good, the whole while sinning the whole while. Say, what happens to them? Look at the last verse. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. He's already got you. And brother, it's only a matter of time till it manifests itself. And you'll see them rise up and say, oh, I had to leave up there, man. They don't feed me no more. Look, give me that old stuff. Oh, they're different up there. Well, be different for the right reasons. So I don't have time to get those other verses. We will later. They are captives of the devil. Let me finish up. The whole while acting out the part of a good Christian, fooling even their very selves. And self-deception is a common problem in the church today. And you have this. And he said in Galatians, as I quit here, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So be careful what you think about yourself. I don't think too highly of myself. I never have, because I know who I am. Watch out. James said this, that any man among you seem to be religious, and man, everybody, oh, hey, preacher, glory to God, you know, and bridleth not his tongue, in other words, runs his tongue back behind the scenes about something he don't like, but deceiveth his own heart, yeah, there it is. This man's religion is vain. And Paul's teaching on this. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Whew. Say, brother, just for a Sunday school lesson, man, that's powerful. Yeah, it's powerful. And you say, will everybody get it? No, that's why we teach it over and over again. You say, why? Because there might be one get it today, and next year two get it, and next year you say, what happens? Well, they'll go on with a victorious life, and the rest of the folks, they'll be taken captive at his will. We'll finish that up later. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a chance to teach it, and we're glad that it guides us and leads us, it rebukes us, it exhorts us, and Lord, it brings us much, much glory. So bless now in the remainder of our service, the singing, the songs, the specials, the preaching, and the saving of sinners. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good morning.